Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Leaders may see as a calculated risk. Are you being bold enough? Because it's hard to accomplish anything magnificent without taking some risk. Thomas Aquinas said, if the highest aim of a captain were to preserve his ship, he would keep it in the port forever. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia on a beautiful day, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich show. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly, but for now, let's kick off the morning. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Lionel from Detroit, Michigan.
Hey, Lionel. Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York. How are you?
I'm doing great, Adele. Good morning.
Good morning, sweetie, and everyone.
Good morning, it's Kathy in Idaho.
Good morning, Kathy, early. Glad you're on the line.
Morning, Mayor. Are they from Jacksonville?
Hey, Andre. Great to hear your voice. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, Amy.
Morning, Amy.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Chanel in California.
Hey, beautiful. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
There you are. Good morning, McSween.
Good morning.
Y'all are not on your game this morning, and we know the difference because we're here every day.
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Elizabeth from Virginia. How are you beautiful people today?
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hey, Amy. Bell, everybody. Lionel. Lionel got there first, huh?
I thought I was just going to stay this morning taking bold action. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from. Don't make me come down there.
Good morning, man. Good morning, family. It's Ken Holcomb from Southern California.
Hey, Ken. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Bold entrepreneurs sticking together to create their own unique vision. I love you guys so much. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Caro from Arizona. Good morning, Mahara.
Hey, Caro. Good morning.
Morning.
Top of the morning to you.
Hey, Caro.
Top of the morning. We're coming up on St. Patty's Day.
Morning, family. Kevin in Chattanooga.
Hey, Kevin. We're glad you're here.
Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, family. Joe Dollar.
Hey, Joe Dollar. Good morning.
Hey, Joe.
Morning,
Joe.
Hey. Who else is kicking it off with us this morning? I'm going to have to pick it up now before we let Paul hop on the line, because we cannot show him mediocrity. We have to show him greatness.
Morning, Harris. Charity from New York. How you doing this morning?
There you go, Charity.
Good morning.
Morning, family.
Good morning.
Greg in
Minnesota. Thank you, Mahara. Good morning to you, too.
So welcome. Got to rattle some pots and pans in here this morning. Wake up the car.
Good morning, Mahara. Bill Moyes from South Lake, Texas. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Bill.
Good, Bill.
Here. Paul?
Oh, that's hilarious. Mahara, can you hear me?
Now I can.
I just did the best introduction of my entire life, and my phone was muted. Can you believe it?
I got you back.
Thank you so much. You got my back. I appreciate that. All right, let's try this again. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Terrific Tuesday, March 15th, 2016. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from my beautiful home office. Excited to be here on the line with each of you. I'm actually just walking around my office this morning, getting excited, stretching my body a little bit. Maybe you guys can get up if you haven't stretched this morning. I've actually been to the gym already, but you know what? You can never have enough stretching, because it seems like, you know, as Anthony Robbins teaches, that our physiology has a lot to do with how we feel, right? It's one of the reasons why when we go through our definite major purpose, if we can be up and, like, you know, emphasizing the words with our hands and our bodies and proclaiming, you know, our vision and involving our physiology, it can make a big difference with how we feel. Just like I was in the gym this morning, I was talking to a friend of mine that I see there every morning, and the topic of conversation turned to yoga. And he shares with me this little sheet that he's got that he goes through a couple of times a day, and it's different yoga stretches for energy, right? Because the physiology does have something to do with how we feel. So anyway, I'm just walking around in my office this morning excited, because I know that today on this call, my life can change. Just like I know that today on this call, your life can change. Why, otherwise, why would we be here? Why would we do this call every day? Why would I be getting on this call every day now for over 5 years if I didn't believe that the information on this call can change my life and can change your life? I ran into a guy the other day on Facebook. He made a comment on one of my posts, and he said, you know, he's like, your post is really inspiring. And he said, but, you know, he says, I want to go do great things in my life. And he says, but, you know, I have a hard time being motivated. And you know what I told him? Can you guys guess what I told him? I said, hey, there's this call that I get on every morning and that some other great, amazing people get on every morning. And you know what? It helps me to stay motivated. Maybe it can work for you. And I invited him to this call, because you know what? This call is motivating. It's motivating for me to go through these principles, these laws of success, to hear words from Dr. Napoleon Hill that instruct and lift me. I was writing an email the other day, and you know what's funny is I was writing this email, and I saw these leaders, you know, in my team and in my company, they must have liked it because they copied it and sent it out, and I was like rereading this email, and I was like, you know, that's actually a pretty good email, but you know what's interesting is inside that email, words from Dr. Napoleon Hill just flowed into the email that I wrote. There was a part in the email where I said, quote, built of sterner stuff. You know, the man or the woman, it seems like the man or the woman that stands for something deeper today in 2016, seems like that man or that woman must be, quote, built of sterner stuff. And where did that phrase come from? Came from Dr. Napoleon Hill and this stuff that we read. So continuing to go through this information is motivating. And you know what? As we continue to go through it, we learn to master it. We learn to become, as I was listening to a million-dollar-plus earner in the home business profession last night, this amazing woman, this leader of leaders. You know, she was given this training last night, and she was sharing some information that I'd heard before. You know what? But when I hear information that I've heard before, a lot of times I ask myself, am I applying this information? Because if I'm not if it's good information and I'm not applying it, then I probably don't know it well enough yet. So I probably better be open-minded to listen to it. And number two, do I know it well enough that I could teach it? And if I don't know it well enough that I could teach it, then I probably ought to listen again, right? So I'm listening to this thing last night that I've heard many times before, but I'm listening because I want to apply, and I'm listening also because I want to learn how to teach, and it has to do with this repetition that we're talking about, this repetition where we get on calls like this one, and we go through the same information over and 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 over, and we keep going through it, right? We keep going through it because we want to learn it well enough that we're doing it, and we want to learn it well enough that we can teach it. You know, this thing that she was talking about last night that some of you probably heard before is she was talking about these different levels of learning, and this is really valuable information, so it's worth passing on just in case you haven't heard it. And if you have heard it, it's worth hearing again so we can learn it well enough that we're doing it and so that we can learn it well enough that we can teach it, and again, because it relates to what we do on this call. She says, you know, there's these four levels of learning, you know, where number one, we are unconsciously incompetent. That is level one, where we don't know what we don't know. We have no idea. Sort of like back when I had a job and I was doing what they had taught me to do all my life, which was go to school, get good grades, and then get out and get this job. So I was working in this cubicle. I had a college degree, a bachelor's in business administration. And I was like, man, is this all there is to life? You know, come here, work in this cubicle, have my ear tied to the phone, you know, got to get permission to go to the bathroom, got to get permission to go on vacation, got to get permission to, you know, stay home with my wife on a weekend for our first year wedding anniversary. Is this all there is to life? I was unconsciously incompetent, meaning I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know there was another way out there, right, where I could build business, where I could be an entrepreneur, where I could build a network marketing business, where I could build an internet marketing business. I was unconsciously incompetent. That's where you don't know what you don't know, right? You don't know what you don't know. That's level one. Then the next level is you learn, you become conscious that you're incompetent in something. It's like, you know, like I want to play the guitar, right? And so I start to play, and I become conscious very quickly that I am incompetent, right? I become aware that I am not that great at the guitar. And that's level two in this process we go through in anything that we want to learn how to do. We want to learn how to become a better prospector in network marketing. Same thing. Maybe you pick up the phone and you call a prospect and you're like, holy crap, I'm terrible at this. I am now aware that I am incompetent in this skill set. And you know what? It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do something and realize you're not good at it, right? Because you're moving along the levels of learning, right? So you become consciously aware that you're incompetent at something. And then the next couple of areas are really great, right? So we become, I'm testing myself to see if I can teach this, right? So we've got level one, which is, what was level one? We are unconsciously incompetent. Then level two, we are consciously incompetent. Then level three, we are, see now, I'm losing myself here. So I need to review this stuff. Help me out here. What is it? What's next, Mahara?
Consciously competent.
Consciously, that's right. Consciously competent, consciously competent, where now, so like take my guitar playing, for instance. So I learn in my brain what chords are, and I learn these certain chords. And so now I'm using my mind, I'm conscious of what I'm doing, and so I'm using my mind to move my fingers from the D chord to the A chord to the C chord to the G chord, right? But I'm doing it with my mind. I have to think about it, right? I have to use my mind. Think about it. And the same thing goes for, again, anything we're doing in business, right? maybe we're learning how to block, right? And in the beginning, we're like, okay, you know, we get to this point, we're like, okay, I now know that blogging is a good thing for my business because it helps me generate more leads. And for the leads that I have, it's helping me to get those people who are following me to like me because I'm giving them valuable information. And it's also getting them, hopefully, to know, like, and trust me through blogging as they're going through my valuable information. So we become consciously aware. But in the beginning, we're like, okay, how do we do this, right? And we have to think about it. It's like, okay, step number one, I got to think about a topic. Now that I got a topic, step number two, I got to come up with good headlines so that people will actually, like, want to look at it. Okay, step number three, how do I write the post, you know? And you're thinking about it. And you're like, okay, while I'm writing, maybe it's good that I, you know, have a conversational tone and I use the word you, just like I'm talking, like I'm writing like I'm talking, right? And maybe it's good that I ask questions in my post along the way to keep people engaged. Maybe it's good that I break up my content. You know, I give like 5 tips or 7 tips or 10 tips or 13 tips. And you're like thinking. We're consciously competent. And then the last level that we all want to get to, and that we all can get to, by the way, if we decide that something is worth learning, if we decide that it's worth learning and we go through the process that we're talking about here of repetition and engaging in this process, we finally get to this level, which is like the holy grail, right, of performing a skill or doing something well, and that is where we are unconsciously competent, right, where it's automatic. Sort of like I got to when I used to prospect on the phone a lot. In the beginning, I went through all three of these levels, was not good, right? And then became conscious of what was happening and started to do things differently. And now, if I decide to get on the phone with a prospect, I'm telling you guys, I am unconsciously competent because I've done it so much. I've done it so much, I don't even have to think about the steps. I'm just unconsciously good at connecting with prospects on the phone if that's something that I choose to do. And we can all get there. We can get there with playing the guitar. We can get there with speaking a foreign language, right? We just become unconsciously confident. We just do it automatically. Our unconscious takes over, and we just do it. And isn't that a beautiful truth and an exciting truth of life, is that anything that we want to learn, whether it's making money from home, whether it's a certain subset of a skill set that we need to make money from home, whether it's learning an instrument, you know, whether it's, you know, being a better father, mother, anything we want to learn, guys, we can go through this process and we can get to a point where it's just unconsciously something that we do automatically. And all the way back to the point, you know, this call, one of the things that I love about this call and why we get on this call every day, or at least I do, and I know some of you do as well, is because I believe that learning the laws of success are important. Because we want to be successful, doesn't it make sense that we understand the structure behind success? And as we learn these things over and over and over, we learn them well enough to apply them at the different levels of competence. And then we get to a point where we apply them automatically, and we also get to a point where we can teach them. Guess what happens? Our lives become amazing. They become amazing because we're achieving the things that we want to achieve, and they become amazing because we're now to a point where we're inspiring, we're empowering, we're lifting the people around us. And they, too, are having amazing lives, and that's called contribution. And it happens as we become become unconsciously competent at success. And that's one of the big reasons for this call, is so we can condition our minds on a daily basis to understand and apply and teach these laws on an unconscious level. And it's a beautiful thing. It's something I get excited about every single day when I think about it. And then the last thing I'll share here, and then we'll open up the lines, we'll go through our definite purpose self-confidence formula, and then we'll get into our study of the laws of success. You know, this last thing that this million-dollar earner was teaching me last night as I was listening to this call, I was actually listening to the replay from this morning, she said this. She said, it's really important that if you want people to buy into your vision, number one, you got to have one. Right? So That's like one of the first things we learned, right? Major definite purpose. What is our purpose? What is our vision? But then she said, second thing is you've got to speak your vision. You've got to share with people what you're doing and why you're doing it so that they too can get excited and so that they too, you know, can buy into, you know, your vision, your crusade. And so, you know, I just spent the first 10 minutes, and I do it actually quite a lot on this call, telling people why we get on this call, telling people why we study the laws of success. Why? Well, hopefully so that you can be on the other end of this line and say, hey, you know what, that makes sense. I want to be a part of this. I want to study with you guys. I want to learn with you guys. I want to grow with you guys. I want to share with you guys. I want to impact your life, right? Because you hear the vision. And my vision, just in case you guys don't know, I haven't shared this on this call in a while, but my vision is I want to help free 100 families a year. That is my goal. That is my vision. That is one of the big reasons why, you know, I get on this call. It's one of the big reasons why I continue moving forward in my business, because freedom to me is like one of the most important things here on this planet. I'm so grateful for the level of freedom that I have now. I'm so grateful to have been able to step out of the job life. I'm so grateful to have income coming in for my family every month, where we can buy the food that we want to buy and we can, you know, do the things that we want to do and we can have time together. You know, I'm so grateful that I get to be with my children every day and I get to have great conversations with them. All of that comes from freedom. So, you know, it's like Jones of Toledo in The Science of Getting Rich, that quote that Wallace Waddles gives us, what I want for myself, I want for everybody, right? I want other people to be free. And so it just makes sense to me that one of the great ways, if you're serious about freedom, number one, for yourself, and you're serious about helping other people be free, doesn't it make sense that studying, understanding, and applying, and helping other people apply the laws of success would be a great way to inspire and empower freedom in the world? And it does to me, right? And so if you're in for that, if you're in for freedom, you're in for winning freedom for yourself, your family, the people you love, people maybe you haven't even met yet, and you're a freedom crusader, which means you stand for freedom. Guys, standing for freedom means you stand for freedom, and you keep going no matter what. You show up, you fight, you push forward, you plow through setbacks, right? If you're a freedom crusader, you stand for that, and you stand and you fight and you keep pushing forward. And I want to know, am I the only freedom crusader on this line this morning? Am I the only one who's committed to developing different levels of competence in the things that I'm working on for freedom's sake? Am I the only one who's committed to showing up in my business every day because my family's depending upon me, because my team's depending upon me, because people I haven't even met yet are depending upon me, because people who haven't joined my business and may never ever join my business are depending upon me to get them a message of hope, to get them a message of inspiration? Am I the only one, or do I stand here with an army of freedom crusaders? And if you're a freedom crusader and you stand here with me for some of these things we've talked about, I want to hear you express it in the line. I want to hear you tell me. I want to hear you tell me that you're committed to your life, your future, your passion, your business, your freedom. I'm going to unmute the line. Let me know where you stand, my friend, right now. I tell you what, guys, I could listen to that sound for the rest of the call, hearing you and your voices and your hearts and your souls standing for freedom. It's music to my ears. Thank you so much for that. So with that, guys, let's get into our call. We're going to go through our definite purpose self-confidence formula, and then we're going to learn some laws of success from Dr. Napoleon Hill. So star 6, who's got the definite purpose self-confidence formula ready for us this morning? Please come on out.
Good morning, Paul. This is Phyllis in Missouri.
Hey, good morning. Did you say Phyllis? Is that right?
Yes, Phyllis in Missouri.
Phyllis, okay. Welcome. Thanks for coming out.
Okay, yeah, this is my first time, so bear with me. My major definite purpose. By the first day of I will have in my possession monthly residual income, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this money, I would give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. That confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I would devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, cynicism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that I will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become self-reliant and successful person. Thank you.
Phyllis, you are one amazing woman. I could hear the power and the faith coming from you when you just led us through that. So thank you so much. I believe in you. And hey, friends, do you believe in Phyllis? If you do, let's let her know as I unmute the lines right now. I love it. Where else can you be a freedom crusader for a living and scream into the phone because you want to and because it's fun and tell people you believe in them than right here where we're at? Just a great thing. All right, guys. Well, hey, let's get to work. We're in the Law of Success, and we are studying the chapter on going the extra mile. We're on page 658 of 1170, and we're going to jump right into it. Napoleon Hill says, when a man is engaged in a work that he loves, it is no hardship for him to do more work and better work than that for which he is paid. And for this very reason, every man owes it to himself to do his best to find the sort of work that he likes best. I have a perfect right to offer this advice to the students of this philosophy for the reason that I have followed it myself. without reason to regret having done so. This seems to be an appropriate place to inject a little personal history concerning both the author and the Law of Success philosophy, the purpose of which is to show that labor performed in a spirit of love for the sake of labor itself never has been and never will be lost. This entire lesson is devoted to the offering of evidence that it really pays to render more service and better service than one is paid to render. What an empty and useless effort this would be if the author had not himself practiced this rule long enough to be able to say just how it works. For over a quarter of a century, I have been engaged in the labor of love out of which this philosophy has been developed, and I am perfectly sincere when I repeat that which I have stated elsewhere in this course, that I have been amply paid for my labors by the pleasure I have had as I went along, even if I received nothing more. My labors on this philosophy made it necessary many years ago for me to choose between immediate monetary returns, which I might have enjoyed by directing my efforts along purely commercial lines, and remuneration that comes in years later, and which is represented by both the unusual usual financial standards and other forms of pay, which can be measured only in terms of accumulated knowledge that enables one to enjoy the world about him more keenly. The man who engages in work that he loves best does not always have the support in his choice of his closest friends and relatives. Combating negative suggestions from friends and relatives has required an alarming proportion of my energies during the years that I have been engaged in research work for the purpose of gathering, organizing, classifying, and testing the material which has gone into this course. These personal references are made solely for the purpose of showing the students of this philosophy that seldom, if ever, can one hope to engage in the work one loves best without meeting obstacles of some nature. Generally, the chief obstacles in the way of one engaging in the sort of work one loves best is that it may not be the work which brings the greatest remuneration at the start. To offset this advantage, however, the one who engages in the sort of work he loves is generally rewarded with two very decided benefits. Namely, first, he usually finds in such work the greatest of all rewards, happiness, which is priceless. And secondly, his actual reward in money, when averaged over a lifetime of effort, is generally much greater for the reason that labor which is performed in a spirit of love is usually greater in quantity and finer in quality than that which is performed solely for money. The most embarrassing, and I might, without any intention of disrespect, say, the most disastrous opposition to my choice of a life work came from my wife. This perhaps will explain why I have made frequent references in many of the lessons of this course to the fact that a man's wife may either make or break him according to the extent which she gives or withholds cooperation and encouragement in connection with his chosen work. And there's a quote on the preceding page. It says, "There is no more dangerous person, dangerous to himself and to others, than the person who passes judgment without pretending to know the facts." My wife's idea was that I should accept a salaried position that would ensure a regular monthly income, because I had shown by the few salaried positions I had held that I had a marketable ability which should command an income of from $6,000 to $10,000 a year without any great effort on my part. In a way, I saw my wife's viewpoint and was in sympathy with it, because we had young growing children coming on who needed clothes and education and a regular salary, even though it were not large, seemed to be a necessity. Despite this logical argument, however, I chose to override my wife's counsel. Came then to her rescue the combined forces of her family and mine, and collectively they charged me head-on with what amounted to a command to write about face and settle down on a salary basis. studying other people might be all right for a man who had the time to spend in this, quote, unprofitable, close quote, manner, they reasoned. But for a young married man with a growing family, this seemed hardly the thing to do. But I remained adamant. I had made my choice and was determined to stand by it. The opposition did not yield to my viewpoint, but gradually, of course, it melted away. Meanwhile, the knowledge that my choice had worked at least a temporary hardship on my family, combined with the thought that my dearest friends and relatives were not in harmony with me, greatly increased my labors. Fortunately, not all of my friends believed my choice unwise. There were a few friends who not only believed I was following a course that would ultimately bring me out somewhere near the top of the mountain of useful achievement, but in addition to believing in my plans, they actually went out of their way to encourage me not to be whipped by either adversity or the opposition of my relatives. Of this small group of faithful ones who gave me encouragement at a time when it was badly needed, perhaps one man should have the fullest credit, and this man is Edwin C. Barnes, a business associate of Thomas A. Edison. Mr. Barnes became interested in my chosen work nearly 20 years ago, and I owe it to him to state here that had it not been for his unwavering faith in the soundness of the law of success philosophy, I would have yielded to the persuasion of my friends and sought the way of least resistance via the salary route. This would have saved me much grief and almost endless amounts of criticism, but it would have wrecked the hopes of a lifetime. And in the end, I would in all probability have lost also the finest and most desirable of all things, happiness. For I have been extremely happy in my work, even during the periods when the remuneration it brought me could be measured by nothing but a mountain of debts, which I could not for the moment pay. And I think that's a great place for us to pause and kind of discuss what we've covered so far. I want to share something with you guys, you know, that I thought of here when Dr. Napoleon Hill was talking about Edwin C. Barnes. This is actually a quote that I ran across yesterday that I want to share with you guys. It says, "In life, you will realize that there is a role for everyone you meet. Some will test you. Some will use you, some will love you, and some will teach you. But the ones who are truly important are the ones who bring out the best in you. They are the rare and amazing people who remind you why it's worth it." And I just thought of that. You know, as Dr. Hill was talking about, you know, Edwin C. Barnes and how important that relationship was for him. You know, that one friend, that one person in his life that encouraged him when everyone else was discouraging him, that built faith in him when everyone else was dishing out criticism and fear. You know, I think if I have a great hope, it's that I and you and all of us could learn to be that person. You know, learn to be that person, learn to be the Edwin C. Barnes for ourselves, number one, because we all need an Edwin C. Barnes in our life, right? And if that's got to be us to start off with, then we be the one who says to us, "Paul, you can do it. Nahara, you can do it. You know, Bill, you can do it. Lisa, you can do it." We be the ones who look ourselves in the mirror, and even though other people might be sending us negative suggestions and telling us all this negative stuff, we be the Edwin C. Barnes. We say, "Nope, you know what? We can do it." And then when we learn how to be that Edwin C. Barnes for ourselves, we learn how to be that Edwin C. Barnes for the people around us. We learn how to be their cheerleader. We learn how to be their champion. We learn how to cheer them on. We learn how to inspire hope and faith, because as I heard from another million-dollar earning lady the other day, I was going through this training, she said, "He who has the most hope has the most influence." Isn't that a good note to maybe jot down in our journals? If we can be the ones with hope, not only will we have hope, not only will we brighten the days of the people around us, but we can also develop more influence with which we can use to do more good work in the world. So those are my thoughts, my friends. I'm excited to hear yours. Let's jump into the mastermind portion of the call. Can't wait to hear what's been bubbling up and inside your soul and mind as we've gone through some of these stimulating ideas in the first 30 minutes of the call. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are part of our community here. And brevity and relevance, always appreciated in your comments. One moment, and I'm going to open up the line. Hold on here.
Muted.
Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Bill Moist.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Good morning, family. You know, this lesson on going the extra mile, I think, is really important. And what I'm about to say, not necessarily in a way of criticism, but it's really in a way of contrast. And what it is that corporate America is really on this spiral down of giving less service, poor service, less quality. So many jobs been offshore means that you don't get the same quality of service. I have a friend who's a mechanic for a major airline, and their pressure is to do the minimum, not to do what's needed on the repairs of the plane. And it's a major airline, and they have no surplus planes in the Air Force. And so that means, because the bean counters go, well, we can save money, so many millions of dollars. But that means that if a plane goes down, then a flight gets canceled. So. And my son worked for a major computer company, a name brand that you would have known. And he was a software engineer. And he had a task that he had to do once a week. It was a massive compilation of his data. It took 8 hours. My son is lazy in a good sense. He always wants to do things better, faster, easier. And he came up with a way to do it in 15 minutes. And his bosses, you'd think his boss would be thrilled. He saved 8 hours a week. You'd think he'd be just absolutely ecstatic. What a great employee. But instead, he said, that's not our way of doing business. And so, you know, that was kind of the beginning of his end of his career there. But I have a great story to tell about a lady. So the reason I share that as kind of background, we as small business owners, we can be the ones who go the extra mile. We can go the extra mile for our employees, for our customers. For our suppliers, you know, a good friend of mine who has his own company lets a lady homeschool his middle school son in his office. Why? Because he can. So, but a friend of mine is telling me a story about a lady he knows who was a house flipper, and she would do all the painting, and she was pretty creative. And then somebody introduced her to the high-end market. There are people willing to pay for service. And so she charges 4 to 5 times more to do painting than a typical painter would. But she works with people who are very very wealthy, very busy, and very particular. And so, for example, if they say be there at 7:30, it's not 7:25, and it's not 7:35, because at 7:25, she's probably fixing her hair. She's got a schedule. They all have schedules. They have important things. So they'll say, like, for example, I'm having a dinner party. You've got to be out of here at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. All your stuff's got to be gone, you know. And so she does that. Whatever she pays a great deal of attention to what their particular needs are, and she gives them extraordinary service that most people think, what's the big deal? What difference does it make if I come at 7:45 instead of 7:30? You know, that's real easy to justify being basically sloppy and lazy. So I want to encourage all of us, encourage myself on the phone, let's be those who go the extra mile, because we will stand out more than ever in the United States of America by being those people. People go, I want to be like them. I want to be with those folks. So that's what this call is all about. Every one of you go the extra mile by being on this call every single day. And I love all of you all. And Paul, I'll call you about 30 minutes after the call is over if that works okay for you.
Yeah, sounds good, Bill. Looking forward to chatting with you. And great thought. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Was that Lori coming out with Bill? Who was the lady's voice I heard?
Hey, Paul. It's Lori from Winnetka.
Hey, Lori. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, boy. I got a little bit nervous there when he was talking about the airplane. I think I'd really like to know what airline that is.
<Me too. laughs>
Maybe taking some flights out there. Anyway, I wanted to share that came to my mind while you were reading. I don't know if it's okay if I share a poem.
Yeah, absolutely.
You, maybe everybody has heard of it. It's the Bridge Builder.
Go ahead. I'd love to hear that.
Okay. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing the sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said. There followed after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way, this chasm that has been as naught to me. To the fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. And I think that's what we're all doing. I think that's all, you know, we have a passion for loving others. You talk about freedom, you know, and we all want that, not just for ourselves, but for others. So we may have to hear the negative from other people around us, but to find those ones that encourage us and then to build bridges for others so that they can have that encouragement and get to where they want to be is, I think it's all of our goals. So anyway, I love you guys. I appreciate you. And make it a great day.
You know, it is, Lori. And I love that poem and that message. So inspirational. And, you know, as you say that it's all of our goals, isn't that comforting to know that we all really are pretty similar in that regard, you know? And it's like, we know how to influence and inspire other people because it's the same stuff that influences and inspire us, you know? So
yeah.
Anyway, that's just inspiring to me. So thank you. Thanks for being you,
thank
Lori.
You.
You're amazing.
I am so honored to be a part of a group that's so amazing. I just have to say. Thank you, too.
The feeling is mutual. Thanks, Lori. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. I love poetry, by the way. I don't know about you guys, but anyone who has great poems to share, please always feel free to come out. I really love that stuff.
Hey, Paul, it's Amber.
Oh, I was so hoping you were going to come out, Amber. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
You sound different from the last time I talked to you. Like, did you do something that, like, changed you a little bit?
Gee, maybe. I might have been with someone who was influencing and inspiring just a little bit, along with 9,000 other people. Which is great. Yeah, Tony Robbins, of course, Unleashing the Power Within. Lost half my voice because, you know, after 17 hours and 4 days of yelling at the top of your lungs, you tend to lose your voice a little. But, yeah, gosh, it's not really on the topic, I guess, of going the extra mile, but I've gone the extra mile. I guess I'm going the extra mile right now with, you know, putting into action what we learned with Tony. And there's a lot to do, though, but I'm starting with the health portion of it. And then because of, like, you were talking about the yoga in the morning and getting your energy going, and, you know, that's what he's all about, is getting everybody into peak state, you know, peak physical state. And that's why he has you jump around so much. And I'm sitting here trying to, like, get the energy to go to the gym and jump around, but... I don't know if I have it today. I'm still trying to catch up on my sleep. I mean, I haven't slept in. I keep getting up at like 6 or 7 in the morning. But, you know, it's about energy and the food you put into your body. And he's so big on that. And that's what I've been implementing. So I think once, you know, I can get that, which I am doing, getting the food. And then I go to yoga. And then I'll make my way to the gym. And that all leads to my success, because then it gives me more energy to go out there and hustle and, you know, do everything that I need to do for my success. And one thing I loved about what we did over the weekend was we found what our limiting beliefs were that hold us back You know, like one of mine was like, oh, I suck at sales. I hate sales, you know, because I, you know, when someone calls you on the other phone, on the other end of the phone, you're like, oh, it's a salesperson. And you know how, like, you kind of, there's always like a reaction in between. But, you know, when we learn how to help people, which is what you do, you know, when you're helping people, you're really not selling anything. You're just, so you're selling yourself and helping them to a better way of life. So anyway, so I don't know, I'm just rambling, but I just wanted to come out and say hi and tell you it was awesome. And I signed up for a date with Destiny, so you should go to that one and I'll meet you there.
Awesome. No, that's great. I was hoping that you would come out and spill the beans a little bit on, you know, your experience. So like finding and uncovering limiting beliefs was like a big one, like from the event, one of your biggest.
The two big ones were, yep, you're finding and uncovering your limiting beliefs, but then replacing them with the opposite of what the belief is. Like, you know, one of mine like was, I'm terrible at sales. And that was just something I told myself to keep, because one thing I have is I have like a desire for success, but a fear of rejection. So by telling myself I'm terrible at sales, I didn't have to go out there and hustle or try to see anybody. You know, I just stay in my little comfort zone. But so you replace it with like, wow, you know what? I'm a great salesperson. And people tell me all the time that, you know, that I'm a wonderful, like a powerful influencer, and, you know, and I have a great product, and, you know, you replace it, but you replace it through a process. You don't just like, you know, you don't just tell it to yourself. You know, he does everything with taking you through a verbal process, an emotional process, you know, and he adds, you know, just the right music and the beats, like tribal beats and yelling and everything to like pull the old one out and then just slam the new one into you, so that when you leave, you really believe the new one, and the old one's almost laughable. Like, oh my God, how ridiculous, you know? And then the other really cool thing that he does, which is with unleashing the power within, is he pulls out like your inner, primitive personality almost, you know, because you're yelling at the top of your lungs and you're jumping and then you're almost beating your chest, you know, like, and the music is crazy and the lights and the everything goes together to bring out like your inner power. So you bring out this inner power, this inner person in you that you didn't even know was, or that I didn't even know was there, fairly, you know, because there's always different personalities driving the car. Like, you know, sometimes we get meek and timid, and sometimes we don't have good self-esteem, and, you know, all these different personalities. So he pulls out this primitive tribal one that's so strong, and then he has you give it a nickname. So my nickname for mine, I'll share it with you, is Rain, but it's not R-A-I-N, it's R-E-I-G-N, like rain over you. So then you anchor it in so that you can actually just pull up the anchor of that personality whenever you're walking into a situation or you're on the phone with someone and you start to feel yourself slide back. You just do a little tap and boom, there's that personality and you're there. So those are my two big ones.
Cool. I like it. Yeah. I like it. It sort of reminds me, I don't know if you guys have heard this marketing lesson, but like there's a great marketer that that I followed a bit a while back. And one of the things that he said was you should give yourself a superhero identity. And then like if you pay attention to like some marketers, like, you know, you'll see that different people have superhero identities. So it's like almost like, you know, like you're saying, like give your more powerful self a name. So like tying that to marketing, you know, you could give yourself a superhero identity. So like lately I've been calling myself the Freedom Crusader. That's my superhero identity. And like, and when I call myself that and when I step into that, it's like, like I'm stepping into like who I'm supposed to be, like what I'm supposed to do, you know? So there definitely is something big to that. Yeah.
Identical. Any quote of Napoleon Hill? Yeah, you have to go, Paul. You will be so into it. It's very similar to some of the other events we go to, you know, but only this is like the king of the events. Like this is where everybody
the
else
king.
Everybody else awesome. Models after this, you know.
Right.
So anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
So
well,
go.
Thanks for sharing, Amber. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Thank you.
Good stuff. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Feel free to pose questions to guys and gals. Like, if you've got questions on your mind that you want to pose to anyone in the group, you know, now's a great time. Or just things that are on your mind that you want to share. I think both are appropriate in the mastermind portion of the call. So.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hi. Hello, everybody. It's Rita Joy in Dallas.
Hey, Rita Joy. Good to hear you.
Hey, thank you. Good to hear y'all. So I've been wanting to come out lately, and I've been waiting for just the right time, and evidently this is it. You know, earlier you started the call off by telling us to speak our vision and like to share it with people. And so I would like to do that right now. I have this little vision that's in the works, and I know that I'm manifesting it. I can feel it in my bones, and I want to share it because I want y'all to help me co-manifest it. I want to get everybody picturing it happening, and then when it happens, we'll all be part of it. So my super character's name is Happy, and I already have the little character. I created it like 30 years ago, but I didn't fine-tune it and complete it and get it copyrighted until recently, thanks to the encouragement and the help from my partner, Christian Craig. So we have this character named Happy, and that's my logo, so to speak. And my vision, my dream, is inspired by this call. And I'm affectionately referring to this as the Think and Grow Happy Tour. And I'm going to manifest, I don't know exactly the make and model, but I want to manifest either like a van or a school bus or an RV, something that Christian and I and Mama Lois and the dogs and the cats, we can all load up in. And, of course, it's going to be white base with rainbow colors, like a hippie van with laugh and smile and freedom and peace and love and happiness, stuff like that painted on the outside of the van. And we're going to travel the United States, and we're going to visit all of our Think and Grow Rich family. Like, we're going to come to Iowa, Paul, to see you and your kids, you know. And we want to stop in the different cities where there are people that we want to touch. And we'll pick a park or somewhere where we can, you know, roll out our awning and set up our stage, and we're going to give a Never Give Up concert where we play our positive music and just encourage people to never give up on their dreams. And I don't know, are y'all with me? Can you feel me? Hello?
I feel you. Sorry, I was trying to unmute my line. I'm
like, is anybody there?
The Think and Grow Happy Tour. I love that. I think that's great.
And we're going to travel the country so we can meet as many of our Think and Grow Rich family as we can. And we're going to put on our Never Give Up concerts and continue to encourage people with our music and just, you know, show people that you don't ever want to give up on your dreams and that anything's possible, whatever's in your heart and stuff like that. So I've been wanting to share that, and this felt like the right time, especially, Paul, when you said today we're studying Go the Extra Mile. So I'm thinking, how many miles are we going to put on this hippie van? We're going to definitely be going the extra mile. And so if y'all want us to come to your city, be thinking, be picturing it happening and where you think we should park to, you know, to camp for a day or something. And so who knows? We're just going to roll with the flow. I don't know all the details, but I know that it's in my future. I turned 60 in May, so that may be like the kickoff. I don't know exactly. It may take a little longer. Who knows? But I do know that it's going to happen because I can feel it in my heart. So I'm glad I finally got to share it with y'all, Paul.
I love it. I love it.
Yay.
You're amazing, Rita. Thank you.
Yeah, and what
that.
I'll do is I'll share my little happy character on the Facebook page or something so y'all can see the little character because it's really cool. It's the head is a bright sun with a happy face. And then the body, the torso is just a big, so the sun is, of course, yellow. And the torso is a big red heart with happy across the middle of it. And then the arms are green vines that are growing up, and one of the hands is doing the peace sign, and the other hand is doing the I love you and sign language sign. And then the legs are musical notes. They're like blue jeans, like musical notes. And one of the feet one of the feet is a yin-yang, and the other foot is a peace sign. So it's this real cool character, like I said, that I did 30 years ago, and it came out. So I'm just excited about it because it's going to be something that's going to be good for the whole world, I think.
Yeah, the world needs more of that. So
yeah,
sharing. I can't wait to see that character.
Paul.
Do share in the Facebook group. I'd love to see that.
Okay, cool. I will.
Okay.
Hey, Paul. Larry Coates.
Right. Hey, Larry.
Good morning. Hey, Happy. We have a spot for you to park your RV in at our place, and we even have concerts on the common in our town. So feel free to join us up in South Hamilton, north of Boston. We're looking forward to having you join us.
Awesome. Thank
you. I believe in her.
Heck yeah.
Talk to you later, Paul.
Well, talk to you later, Larry. Good to hear your voice, man. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. We'd love to hear from you today.
Elizabeth, hi, what's going on, folks? So many great minds are going together. So many great minds are just contemplating today. But I just want to touch base with the young lady. She's 60. I still got some years on you, but you're still young and beautiful. And I think that's a beautiful idea, beautiful concept. I've even thought myself, wouldn't it be great for all of us to see each other face-to-face, all these voices on the call, one day to just be in your area and to say hello. It's such a wonderful idea. I look forward to that van or whatever you have coming to Virginia and me being a welcoming committee for you and getting some people to come and say hi and hear what you have to say. So you never know, but what a great vision. What a great vision. And I just wanted to give you all a lot of love on the phone. And just thanks for being here. Thanks for everything you do, Paul, and all the whole Think and Grow Rich family. Back to you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Always love hearing your voice. Was there someone else jumping out with Elizabeth? I thought I heard another voice.
Hey, Paul, it's Lisa Scott.
Hey, good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. I just wanted to show my support as well for what Rita Joy was talking about. I think that's an awesome idea. And, you know, just to add to what she was saying, I was thinking, you know, part of the price of admission of being on the bus is you have to start cracking up laughing before you even get on. Because that's what I started to do as she was explaining that character. I thought it was absolutely incredible. And, you know, I just wanted to briefly mention that through the Y project that I'm doing, which is a live stream on Blab, I'm doing it weekly, I have had the opportunity to meet some of our Think and Grow Rich practitioners virtually, but face to face, you know, and seeing them, you know, animated in their expression and their passion and talking about their why. Christian Craig has come on to the show and he has, you know, graced us with his beautiful voice, and that show was absolutely incredible. So I just believe in what Rita Joy is doing, and I love the live stream platform that makes it possible for me to be able to have met some of my Think and Grow Rich practitioners, Patrick Action Jackson. So it's absolutely awesome to see their faces and listen to the passion in their voice as they talk about their why. So just wanted to show my support for what Rita Joy is manifesting right now. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Lisa. Star 6, who's next? We've got 2 minutes left.
Well, Dallas. Hey, Paul, let it go again.
Hey, I think I heard Joe right ahead of you, Larry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just want to give my support to that vision as well. And I've had that vision myself where my wife's grandfather left us because they have a whole big, it's a lot of acreage of property. And I had the vision of definitely, and we're working on it now, building another house there, building a house. And my thing was, even last year, I was looking at it, I was like, this is the thing. And when we're talking on the call, I said, this could be a great thing. And I'm going to put an event together where all of our Think and Grow Rich people, where we can fly everybody out or get everybody there and just have a sitting day at my place. But I see that vision, and it's coming into fruition. It's coming into fruition. We're all in, caught up in the current. The current is leading us that way. Well, wouldn't it be great if we have an event with us on the I Think and Grow Rich family where we can all get together and it's face-to-face and have some kind of event where we everything that we've learned and everything that we know, we all put that and pack that into our Think and Grow Rich event. So thank you for putting it out there. And eventually, I believe that it will happen. I see it. I feel it. It's all good. I love you all. Have a great day.
Love you, Joe. Great thoughts. Larry, you got a quick one, man? We're at time.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think that, getting back to the book, one of the things that really came away with today was this whole important concept that don't do something on the short term and forfeit your long term. Because that was a really strong message this morning, and it really fit me this morning. That's it. I just wanted to leave you with that thought. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome.
Have a great day.
Larry. All right, guys. Well, hey, listen, let's go forth and make it a fantastic day with smiles on our faces, songs in our hearts, and peps in our step. Make a difference in someone's life today, my friends. Challenge you and me to do that. Love you. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Goodbye for now.
So, Rita. Thank you, everyone.
Stand here, Lee Jordan.
Let's be a bridge builder.
Looking forward to the happy part.
Yep. Think and Grow Happy.
Sounds like a great book title, right?
Thank you.